How's it going? Thanks for tuning in. This is the Rip City Buzz. My name's Ty Dobridge. I'm a 21-year-old sports writer for HoopsHabit.com. I've been writing about the Blazers for about 2 years now. I started off with the Rip City Project, and about, or actually, in starting January, I moved to HoopsHabit.com, and I just cover the Portland Trail Blazers for them. I'm a big fan of podcasts and YouTube, so I just wanted to start my own to be able to just to talk Blazers, rant. And be able to talk to fans too. I want to have you guys come on eventually and just we'll talk sports like we're watching it on the couch watching our favorite basketball game. We're playing some 2K and we're just having some chatter. Right now I'm just gonna get into it. The Blazers are on a 9-game winning streak, and this is the best that they've looked in about 3 years since LaMarcus Aldridge left. Probably right before when Wesley Matthews he tore his Achilles in that Dallas Mavericks game. That was probably the peak of the Blazers I've ever seen in my life, and now they're starting to reach that point again. Let's look at their wins in a row, or in order. They beat the Warriors and they went into the All-Star break, which was key. I mean, that had to just give the Blazers so much confidence going into the second half of the season, and then they come out second half of the season and they beat a red hot Utah team in Utah. So that was just two good wins in a row. And then they go play Phoenix and get saved by Damian Lillard. They beat Sacramento, they beat Minnesota, they beat the Thunder. They go to the Lakers, get saved by Damian Lillard again. They play the Knicks and then they beat the Warriors again. They beat the Warriors twice during a 9-game winning streak. I don't know when the last time that happened for the Blazers or for I think some other NBA team. When's the last time a team was on a winning streak and beat the Warriors twice? I think the best wins have got to be just both those Warrior wins, the Utah win, and then the Phoenix and LA. The Phoenix and LA right off the bat, those are wins about last year the Blazers would have lost. They would have rolled over, or they would have tried, and just they wouldn't have got their shots to fall in the fourth quarter, and they just would have lost those games. See, they beat the Warriors in Utah, and then they lose to Phoenix. That'd be a terrible loss. Like, that just kills all momentum, and I'm so used to the Blazers doing that. I'm so used to them getting hot and just dropping. But the fact that they stayed hot, and then you got the best player on the team goes, I ain't losing this. It's too important for me. It's too important for our team. We can't lose this. He understands the importance. Stuck the team on his back, and let's go. And he did that for, yeah, those two games. And then you beat Utah, like I said. That's just a good team win. You go into Utah, which is a hard place to play anyway, and you beat a red hot team. I mean, they were streaking, so that just helped the Blazers. And then, yeah, beating the Warriors twice. I mean, that's so much confidence. They got swept by them in the playoffs last year, so that has to feel good to get two wins on them. The first win, they were full force. They had Curry, Thompson, Draymond. They had their whole bench. But I know people say it was before the All-Star break, so they probably weren't trying. I don't care. You still beat them. And then this one, they're saying, oh, they didn't have Curry. You know what? You have Kevin Durant. You got Klay Thompson. You got Draymond Green. You are never, like, out of it. You're never undermanned. I don't care if you only have seven people or six people suiting up that night. You have three great players. That's the price you pay when you want to add four superstars. You don't get bench depth. We saw that with the Heat. We see that with these other superstar teams, like with the Thunder. You don't have bench depth if you want to give three really good players. So that's the price you pay, I guess. So don't cry about it. It happens to everybody. Says the NBA. I think it's Jason Quick talking that the Blazers have gone to curse the charmed. Yeah, I agree. We have been pretty good on injuries this year, knocking on wood here. The stats during the 9-game winning streak, just for a couple key players. CJ McCollum's leading the team in minutes in 9 games played, 37 a game. That's a ton of minutes. He is scoring 22 points, dishing out 3 assists, grabbing 4.4 rebounds, shooting 43.1% from three and 42.5 from the field. So Damian Lillard for MVP is scoring 32.6 points, dishing out 6 assists, grabbing 4 rebounds, and getting 1.1 steals. Yusuf Nurkic, 13.9 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, and 0.9 blocks. And then so Alfred Kamunu, 7.4 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal. And the biggest one for me that I just love is Ed Davis, 6 points, 9.6 rebounds. I mean, the stats don't show it. Ed Davis has been key during this 9-game winning streak. He's been the backbone. there's been a ton of games where we would not have won without him. That game against the Warriors, there's a play in the fourth quarter, you'll probably all remember it, when he gets the rebound, there's like four Warriors around him, and he's like, nah, give me that. I'm grabbing it. Throwing elbows, he gets up, and he flexes at the crowd and just gets the Moda Center so hyped. That is just the best. All right, so that's 9-game winning streak. On to my next topic here. I'm going to talk about Damian Lillard for MVP. This was a thing I was talking about a couple like weeks ago. I think even before the streak, I was just talking about if the Blazers can get to the third seed and if they can beat good teams, I think he should be in the running for MVP. And that was before he went on his super hot streak. So this season, he is averaging 26.8 points, 6.5 assists, 4.5 rebounds, 1 steal, 44% from the field, and 37% from three-point. I just told you his 9-game winning streak stats. Just go back to those real fast. Yeah, he's averaging 32 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, shooting 46% from the field, shooting 41.6% from 3. And I keep seeing that Damian Lillard is the second half leading scorer. So, like, third and fourth quarter, not second half of the season. He's got to compare to the other MVPs. So, obviously, you have James Harden. He's leading it all. He leads the league in points and assists. And I think the Rockets, they were just on a 17-game winning streak and lost. But he's obviously the front runner, and he's probably going to win it. But you have to have Lillard in the discussion. I mean, who else is there? You got Giannis and DeMar DeRozan. But how important are those guys to their team? Well, Giannis is very important. I'll take that one back. But how important is DeMar to his team? I mean, obviously he's a scorer and he's one of the main guys, but they still have Kyle Lowry. They still have Jonas Valanciunas. They got good role players. I mean, with James Harden, obviously he's been fantastic, but they got Chris Paul. They have Eric Gordon. They got Clint Capella. I mean, they would still be a pretty good, decent team. So the Warriors, you can't say Kevin Durant in it. You got Curry. You can't say Curry. You got Durant. They got Klay Thompson, Draymond, so he's out of it. LeBron, really phenomenal this season. But after that, who else? I think it's Damian Lillard. But just what he's doing is so important because he is having his best streak that I've ever seen him play as a Blazer. He doesn't need LaMarcus. I mean, he needs CJ, but he's just like, I'm putting this team on my back. I'm pulling 35-footers, 30-footers from three. I'm getting to the hoop. I'm going to play some defense, and I'm going to lead my team to the victory because I am for real. Number three, Ed Davis and Zach Collins. In my opinion, something I'm working on right now for HoopsHabit.com, I think they should be the starters next year, Ed Davis and Zach Collins. You have Davis and you have Nurkic who are going to be free agents at the end of the season. I think Nurk's going to ask for a lot of money, even though he might not deserve it. But I think you got to give it to Ed Davis. He'll probably get it for cheaper. You got Collins, who you have on a rookie deal for 3 more years, and he's developed super good. I'm so ready to see him at this time next year to see where his skill set is. So why not start Davis and Collins, save some money with Nurkic, and then you go throw that money to somewhere else. They come in, they are physical rebounders, they know their roles, they're not trying to do too much. You don't need to really call plays for them. I mean, eventually you can call plays for Zach Collins, but right now you just let him do pick and roll, let him score on the post and hit open shots. He's doing a pretty good job at that. And Zach Collins is a great passer. His vision is one of the best I've seen for a young big man. So you play him out there, and then you have Ed Davis. He doesn't need any plays. He just wants second chance rebounds, block shots, and just wants to be physical and bang around down low. So, I mean, you can save the play calling and shots for CJ, Dame, Harkless, Aminu, and people like that. So, and then in the fourth quarter, you haven't even really been seeing Yusuf Nurkic in these 9 games. I think the last 9 games, he has played in 6 of them. And that last Warriors game, he didn't play at all. It was Ed Davis and Zach Collins. So I feel like when they come into the game, it just brings a whole different energy to the Blazers. And then, especially when they're at home, the fans just, they love Ed Davis and Zach Collins together. When those two come in, they just get super excited. I really like Yusuf Nurkic, but, I mean, if he can't play in the fourth quarter, how do you give him $15, $20 million for the next couple of years? I mean, he's only 23, so obviously he wants a big contract. So I don't know how you pay him a lot of money if in a crunch time game he's not playing. He's on the bench and you have your bench players playing or your backup center. That doesn't make too much sense. So pay your backup center a little bit more to be the starter and save that big chunk of money that you give the Nurkic and save it for someone else. Speaking Houston Rockets in the fourth quarter. In this 9-game winning streak, he's only played in 6 games, and he's averaging about 7.7 minutes. But in the crucial games, he hasn't really been in there. He played that entire Laker game, but besides that, he hasn't really been there. He's played in 63 games his entire season, but he's only played in 50 games in the fourth. So 13 games he hasn't played in the fourth quarter. So during the 9-game winning streak, Zach Collins has only played 6 games, but he's averaging 8.6 minutes. That's second on the team, just behind CJ. And then Davis is only playing about 6.4 minutes during the streak, during the fourth quarter, but he's played in 8 games. So, like, you see where Stotts is throwing his trust. He's throwing more minutes at Collins, but he relies on Davis a little bit more with the games. With the last 12 games I was looking at, because that's when the Blazers really started turning the tide, I think Nurkic has only played in 8 of the last 12, and Collins has played in 9 of the last 12, and I think Davis has played in 11 of the last 12. So again, you see where Stotts is putting his trust. And that just goes back to my thought before. If you can't re-sign Nurkic for a lot of money if you do not trust him to play in fourth quarter minutes. He's a big body. He has trouble defending out on the perimeter, where I think Collins and Davis kind of excel at. I mean, for big men, not excel, but for big men, they do a really good job on switching and stuff. But in the fourth, you need people you can rely on. Now, right now, I don't see the Blazers relying on Yusuf Nurkic. I like him. He's 23 years old. He has a ton of potential to be really good. But, I mean, right now, the Blazers, they don't have time to wait for potential. I mean, Zach Collins obviously is a rookie, so he's still developing, has a ton of potential to be good. But right now, he's showing things that most big men at that young age don't do. And the things he's doing are helping this team now. I don't think Lillard and McCollum have time to wait. They're 27. They're in the prime of their years. I think everybody knows that. Obviously, Dame went to Paul Allen halfway through the season to talk about what's next for this team. So I don't think the Blazers have time to wait around to see if Nurkic can figure it out. I mean, there's some games you're like, holy crap, this dude is unstoppable. And there's other games you're like, where is he? What is he? But I mean, all in all, I mean, I like him. I think he was a good trade. I wish Nurkic fever was hopping again, which everyone was catching it back in Portland. But it just hasn't really been there. During this streak, he's been solid, obviously 13 and 10. I think he just needs to not focus on getting his shots as much. He's still taking about 10 shots a game. Just focus on maybe what Ed Davis and Zach Collins do. Just focus on getting those second chance points, doing your job on screen assists and blocking shots, and then your looks will come. And especially with him, he's a talented dude. The Blazers will want to go to him, but just let him. He just needs to be patient and not forcing. Because like, he hits one mid-range jumper, he thinks he's going to hit him the rest of the game, and he's looking for it, and he shoots 1-for-5, 1-for-4, 2-for-6. And it's like, as soon as he gets two shots in, he thinks he's the best player on the court. And it's like, Nurk, calm down. So I'm curious to see what the Blazers do the rest of the season, especially in the playoffs when each game matters. I'm really curious to see if Nurk's playing in the fourth, if Nurk is, yeah, or if it's a close game, if they're just throwing Collins and Davis. If it's in the third quarter and the Blazers are down 10, if they're going, all right, Nurk, you're out, we're going with this team. Here we go, last topic of the day for me. The Blazers play tonight against the Miami Heat. Looking for 10 in a row. I don't know when the last time the Blazers won 10 in a row. Got to be a couple years, 3-4 years. The Heat won't have Dwayne Wade or Hassan Whiteside. So I think it should be a sure thing the Blazers get that win tonight. But, I mean, the Heat are a scrappy team. They're 7th in the East. They're super well coached and disciplined by Eric Spoelstra. So, like, you know they're going to come in and play their game. Play scrappy on defense. They don't turn the ball over too much. And they got scorers with Goran Dragic, like Josh Richardson. They have Deion Waiters, Tyler Johnson. They have Justin Winslow who can run around and be scrappy. So they got talent. So this is a game the Blazers can't just be like, oh, we won 9 in a row, we just beat the Warriors, let's go. We're at home, we're going to roll through the Heat. They got to step up. They'll have to show up. They haven't played in a couple days. So I think it's going to be a good test for the Blazers. I think if they want to keep this winning streak going and keep proving to the NBA that they're like a top team, they got to win this game, get to 10 in a row, and just beat the teams they're supposed to beat. The Heat, though, have won 2 in a row. They beat the 76ers and the Wizards. But without Hassan Whiteside or Dwayne Wade, I don't know really how good they're going to be. I mean, scratch Wade. He's a little bit older and he hasn't been there that much. But since he's been back, the Heat have really, like, their offense has been a lot more fast-paced. So I'm curious to see what he amount. But with Whiteside, he's just so long. He just know that he can go 20 and 20 and five blocks at any night. So I think the Blazers will be able to get down low a little bit more. Maybe we'll see Yusuf Nurkic just more this game because there is no Whiteside down there. He'll take advantage on the smaller backup center. So maybe we'll see a Bosnian beast game from the Nurkic tonight. But I think it'll be good. They still have their all-star with Goran Dragic. So it'll be a close game, but I think the Blazers will pull it out. Speaking of the Blazers being a top team, so I'm looking at my stats here on ESPN. They hopped into the top four in the power rankings. They passed the Boston Celtics. So Rockets, Warriors, Raptors, and Blazers, top four teams in the power rankings, which is the first time all season. So the Blazers are getting some respect. It's been fun. I'm really hoping they can finish out the season strong. They got a lot more tough games up, but I think they can do it. I haven't felt this confident with a Blazers team in years. Like, so the Warriors game and the Thunder game and the Timberwolves game, those are games where I used to go in pretty worried, like, oh, I don't think the Blazers are going to pull this one tonight. But now I'm like, if we're playing our game, or even if our guys are playing half what they've been playing lately, we're going to beat anybody. I don't see why anybody would beat us. And I thought the same thing with the Warriors both games. I'm like, we are good. We got the talent to compete with them, the length, the skill set. I don't see why they can beat us, and Blazers are proving that. So it's been super fun to watch. Thanks for listening. Go Blazers, and I'll catch you next time. Thanks.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.